Good morning and welcome to Tuesday morning, April the 23rd in 2024 on When I Rise. Today we continue Year Beep, the fifth Sunday of Easter, and on the Tuesday of the week, we'd like to take a look at the Psalm passage, which comes to us from this week from the Revised Common Lectionary and this week of the church's calendar year. And so we find ourselves, I guess, kind of in a familiar spot, Psalm 22, verses 25 through 31. So let me read that passage, provide a couple points for reflection, and then we'll spend our time praying along the theme that we find there. Thanks for making us part of your morning on When I Rise. Let's allow our souls to rise and meet God together in a time of prayer. Psalm 22, verses 25 through 31. I offer praise in the great congregation because of you. I will fulfill my promises in the presence of those who honor God. Let all those who are suffering eat and be full. Let all who seek the Lord praise Him. I pray your hearts live forever. Every part of the earth will remember and come back to the Lord. Every family among all the nations will worship you. Because the right to rule belongs to the Lord, He rules all nations. Indeed, all the earth's powerful will worship Him. All who are descending to the dust will kneel before Him. My being also lives for Him. Future descendants will serve Him. Generations to come will be told about my Lord. They will proclaim God's righteousness to those not yet born, telling them what God has done. This is the word of God for us. I think one of the things I find refreshing about the Psalms is you get a bit of a mixture in nearly every psalm of the human emotion spectrum, right? And I think for those who are deep emotional people, you probably connect with the psalms. If you're, you know, just those who want to think more rationally about things, I mean, we all have a palette of emotions, but some are just maybe more expressive in their emotions than others. Like some people might steer away from psalms because it gets kind of brutal at times, like brutally honest, right? I think what I like is that you tend to get like the anguish of the worshiper in the psalm, but you also get the hope or the confidence of a worshiper in that same psalm. Now, not in all of them. Some are all lament and some are all celebration, but we tend to get some sort of a blend, right? And I think we see that in Psalm 22. You get the anguish for the first, I don't know, 21 verses or so, and then you get the hope in the last handful of verses, maybe 10 verses. Psalm 22. Obviously, this is an important psalm for both our Jewish and Christian friends. For those who are in the Jewish community, if you have some in your life that they have enjoyed Passover, so you might check in with them on that, see how that went for them. But for Christians, like we read Psalm 22 as one that foreshadows the sufferings of Jesus, but also the vindication and victory of God. I think the striking tone at the very end of Psalm 22 is what catches me up today as I read it. This idea of like this universal worship that the psalmist assumes is going to happen at the end, right? So let's just go back. Verse 27 says, every part of the earth will remember and come back to the Lord. Every family among all nations will worship you, right? Going on further, because the right to rule belongs to the Lord. He rules all nations. Indeed, all the earth's powerful will worship Him. All who are descending to the dust will kneel before Him. And not about you, but when I hear those last two refrains, I think of the kenosis hymn from Philippians chapter 2. It talks about every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Christ is Lord. So maybe Paul has that in mind as he's writing that to the Philippians. But I just find this striking because we have certain parts of the Old Testament where like the Jews are pretty ethnocentric, right? Like they're concerned about their own needs. They relish that God chose them from among all the peoples to be His people, right? They assume that if anybody wants to take part in worship of Yahweh, that they need to come all the way down into their territory, down to that big building in the middle of Jerusalem in order to worship, right? So we talk about some of the prophetic expectations of that. How at the end of the age, it says in Isaiah 2, like all the nations will stream to Jerusalem and they'll worship. They'll be, you know, asking for permission more or less from the Jewish people if they can come worship with them, right? Like they'll all see the wisdom of it. So I just find this so interesting how it can go from, you know, it's a very, very, very narrow focus of me and my people and us alone to know this broadening, like all people will worship him, and not just in Jerusalem, but all over the earth. Like the whole world will be the temple of God again, as that seems to be the vision of Genesis chapter 1. So I was just struck by this, and to be honest, like, doesn't it work its way to an uncomfortable place in our being? Like, no matter how humble we are, no matter how friendly we can be and extroverted and so easy to make friends, at the end of the day, like, if we're honest, like, we'd rather have things to be tailor-made for us, right? Like, we want our preferences nearly everywhere that we go. Like, service, we want it to be to our standards. We want the music to be our taste, right? And we want people to be interested in our stories and, you know, make comment about the things that we find important. And I just think it'll take a whole lifetime to work our way out of that, to where we are so open and so friendly to all types of people. And so what I like about the very tail end of this very well-known psalm is there is this hope that all nations will worship God, that every family among the nations will worship him. Isn't that great? Like this, and there's like a comfort in that. It's not like, ah, oh, great. I guess there's going to be more people tagging along than I thought. You know, what a drag. No, like this is the more the merrier type posture among those who were imagining what the end might look like. What I just marvel at is how far the Christian message has gone. Over 2 billion people calling upon Jesus. Of course, there's a great diversity. Of course, we're going to probably disagree on some of the non-essentials. Even some might disagree on some of the essentials. But nevertheless, like, I hope that our first thought about this, and as we approach this day, is how incredible it is that all over the earth, from the rich and the poor, the learned and the unlearned, in every single type of place, in any form of government, in these different countries, like, there are still people who heard the good news and they responded to it in faith and trust, and they want to follow Jesus, right? Whether if it's, you know, very socially acceptable, or if it's a struggle to do so in certain parts of our world, that there's this great comfort and even a celebration that all nations can worship our God. And it's not like we're like celebrating it because the bigger our Christian population gets, we can say, see, this proves that our way is the one true, what, you know, right way. Like, I don't even think it's that. I just think it's, you know, this is more of God than I can handle. And so I'm glad there's billions of us to enjoy this God and to bring delight to him because of it, right? So that's what meets me from Psalm 22 today. So those things in mind, let's spend some time praying to our God this morning. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we thank you for how when we come to the scripture text and as we choose to meet with you, how our minds can be opened and how our minds can be challenged. God, I confess today that there are times where I just want things my way. I want it on my terms, at the speed that I would rather have it. And so I confess to you that I've put my preferences over others. And I put that in the minor things and in the major things. And so I choose to change my mind today. And I thank you that there are words from the psalm this morning that stoke my imagination to the worldwide movement of God and how so many different people, way different than me, are putting their same trust in the same Jesus. And because of that, our experience in the faith can be greatly great and diverse. And because of that, we can be transformed and changed. And so God, this day, help us have a generosity and a grace for hospitality, to be able to interact with different thoughts and opinions, to have great patience with the people around us, including patience with those who struggle, because we know that you're putting together a people of your very own. And as we think about that great thought and how billions of people will wake up today with God on their minds, Lord, I just simply pray that you be upon our minds individually. And as we think about how many others are thinking of you, that our hearts and our minds would be open to their needs and their desires and the things that they would prefer. And I pray that, as the Apostle Paul suggested, that this mind be within us, the mind of Christ, that we should think not just for our own interests, but the interests of others. And as we do so, God, may we see communities built and formed into strong bonds between people. And we pray that mission and great effort and service would be done because of it. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.